Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for May 15th, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at cash grain with the folks at the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. In agricultural news, the head of Monsanto says he's not concerned that USDA is delaying for up to a year approval of new seed traits. We'll have that in other stories. And Todd Gleason is in Washington, D.C., covering the Farm Bill debate. Last night, the House Agricultural Committee ranking member, Colin Peterson, shared his thoughts on the bill. We'll have that story. And meteorologist Drew Lerner will give us the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Here are your settlement prices on this Tuesday afternoon. Make that Wednesday, excuse me. July wheat in Kansas City at 751 and three quarters, down 15 and a quarter. September, 759 and a quarter, down 15 and three quarters. July wheat in Chicago at 693 and three quarters, down 17. September, 702 and a quarter, down 17 and a quarter. July corn, 650 and three quarters, down one and three quarters. September, 563 and a half, down five and a quarter. In December, at 531 and three quarters, down six and a quarter. July soybeans, 1412 and three quarters, down two. September, 1262 and a half, down five and a half. November, at 1209 and three quarters, down four and a quarter. July soybean meal, 41050, down 130. July soybean oil at 49.35, down 41. June live cattle 120.10, down 67 and a half. May feeder cattle at 135.10 are down 40. The August at 145.37 and a half, down 105. June lean hogs 92.10, down 50. And the July contract at 91.95, down 45. And those are your settlements for this Wednesday afternoon in Chicago and Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says rain is likely in the lower U.S. Midwest today and into Thursday, slowing field work. And rain is likely in much of the U.S. Midwest late this week into early next week. The greatest lower U.S. Midwest rainfall will occur in two waves. The first occurs Friday into Saturday with 1/10 to 3/4 inch of rain, most likely with a few locally greater amounts. The second wave of rain will occur along a cold front that will pass through the region Sunday through Wednesday with another 1/4 to 8/10 inches of rain and local amounts over an inch. U.S. Midwest temperatures will remain warmer than usual over the coming full week. Daily highs in the 70s and 80s will occur, keeping evaporation rates relatively high between rain events.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon, Dave.
We're going to get to the corn and soybeans in just a moment. But first, I want you to comment on the wheat market. This is a market that we seem to want to kill off every day for some reason or another. First, it was planting acreage, and then all winter it was drought conditions, and now it is becoming too wet, and yet the market continues to go down. What's up with the wheat market?
Well, I think it's just, and I think this is true of a lot of the markets here right now. I think we're just kind of trading some, you know, up to resistance points, and then we, you know, see the sellers come in and trade it back down to the support levels and just truly have one of those sideways markets because, number one, I think a lot of the fundamental news is already in the marketplace, you know, like you were saying, the early freezes and some of that. And I think, secondly, we just don't have a lot of outside money coming into the market to sponsor any kind of a push, you know, one way or the other from the standpoint of wheat. So I guess I see it as a lot of these that the path of least resistance is probably down. So on a day like this where you don't really have any new fundamental news to push it higher, you take it a little bit lower again.
So will it take us actually harvesting wheat to begin to perk up that wheat market? I mean, to actually prove all those things that's happened all winter have actually impacted yield.
Yeah, I think that as we get into it, and if we see that there's some lower yields coming off, which is what I'd expect, like I think you are indicating, I think that could peak things up here. If you look at the world situation on the last report last Friday there, supply and demand report, mm-hmm. I mean, we don't really have a overabundance of wheat, even with the numbers that we have in there now. So I think that's a possibility, but we'll see, I guess, once we get into the actual harvest part of it, which is going to be somewhat delayed, it looks like.
It will be delayed to some degree. I bring all this wheat up because I'm wondering to what degree wheat can support the corn or help rally corn.
Yeah, I think that the wheat certainly is influencing the corn, but, you know, two separate commodities, and that's something I always point out. That, mm-hmm. I mean, they are related, but they are trading their own fundamentals, too, when we get to that point. So I guess I think on a day like this where we see wheat down 17 cents and corn down about a couple cents on the old crop, that's kind of, you know, there's support, enough support underneath the corn there to kind of hold its own.
So let's look at corn in particular. What were your thoughts on the trading there today?
Well, just really kind of a dead market. And, I mean, I think from a standpoint of cash market, this is probably the first day that we really had where we've got a majority of our clients out in the field, or most of the clients out in the field, up until today. I don't think that's been the case, and I think just very quiet trade out in the country today. I think that there again we're just seeing some outside markets. A dollar in particular I think is important because it's going up here and it's testing the highs that we saw last July. In July of last year, and I think that's kind of a critical point. If it continues to go through that high, there's not a lot of resistance there until you get up another couple of points on the dollar index. So I think some of the outside factors with nothing really bullish in the fundamental side of it created a lower day here today.
So really right now all we have to talk about is weather for the most part. Yes, demand. Every Thursday we get that news. But it really is kind of a vacuum of fundamental information right now.
Yeah, I think there is the weather and the planting. And, I mean, you're hearing today, I've heard anywhere from, you know, 55 to 70-some percent they expect to see done Monday. I think the 70% or so is maybe a little bit on the high side when you only have 3 days of planning for a lot of
these guys.
I'll
take the under 70 anytime you want to offer it to me.
I think I would too. But we definitely have made some progress. I mean, I don't want to downplay that. I've got a couple of clients that I know of that have finished up with corn up in the northern, you know, Livingston County, up in some of those areas. So we have made some progress, but we do have rains coming in here. Maybe a two-edged sword there as far as some of the rains that system kind of moved west a little bit here on the latest forecast. I think they'll take some rain out in Nebraska and some of those areas, especially western Nebraska. So just really nothing real strong from a fundamental standpoint. And there again, the technical just kind of show us moving back and forth between some resistance and support.
Some comments about soybeans before we let you go.
Yeah, we had the crush report out. I think that's important today at 11. It was released. It was 120 million bushel crush last month. They were expecting about 125, so that was negative. The market held up pretty well, really, considering that. But there again, I think the reason we only crush 120 probably is because I'm not sure we have a lot more beans that we can be crushing. I'm not sure we can keep up that pace of 125 million. So that, and there was an ethanol report out this morning that was a little bit friendly to the corn market, probably.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, the head of the world's largest seed company brushed aside suggestions the U.S. regulatory system has become too burdensome less than a week after a new Monsanto company product was delayed by USDA. Monsanto Chief Executive Hugh Grant says he is not overly concerned by the USDA's decision last week to compile a fuller environmental assessment of the company's latest soybean and cotton seeds. Grant's comments run counter to widespread industry complaints. The USDA decision, along with a separate decision to review corn and soybean seeds from Dow Chemical Company, could delay commercialization of both companies' products by at least a year. The recession across the economy of the 17 European Union countries that use the euro extended today into a sixth quarter. Eurostat, the EU's statistics office, says that 9 of the 17 Eurozone countries are in recession, with France a notable addition to the list. Overall, the Euro region's economy contracted 0.2% in the quarter from the previous 3 months. The recession is the longest in the history of the Euro, which was launched in 1999. A recession is officially defined as two straight quarters of negative growth. Deere & Company today says that bad weather and weak economies will hinder sales growth this year. The company predicted that sales of construction and forestry equipment would fall 5% for the full year. Sales of farm and turf equipment grew 12% for the quarter. Deere's second quarter net income rose 3% to $1.08 billion, or $2.76 per share. That's up from $1.06 billion, or $2.61 per share during the same period last year. Revenue from equipment sales rose 9% to $10.27 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
The House Agriculture Committee is marking up its version of the new farm bill today in Washington, D.C. Last night, ranking member of the committee, Democrat Colin Peterson, spoke about the bill and the markup with farm broadcasters. Todd Gleason was among them, and he files this report. It begins the way the evening started, with Peterson and his band, the Second Amendments, entertaining members of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
We are the Second Amendments. Stephen Fincher from Frog Jump, Tennessee, playing bass guitar. To Kenny Holsoff, a former member from Columbia, Missouri, playing drums. And because our guitar player couldn't get on the ballot in Michigan, we had to recruit Manning Faraci, who was Kenny's chief of staff when Kenny was in Congress, to play guitar for us. So we're going to feature Kenny Holsoff in a tune called Already Gone.
What about the Senate today?
I think it was good.
They got done in, three and a half hours, 15 to 5, I guess was what the vote was. So, you know, we have some differences, but we can work it out.
Nutrition tends to be one of the biggest differences. What do you think will happen?
Well, you know, we're going to make more cuts over here in the House. We think we've hit a middle ground that the Republicans think is not enough and the Democrats think is too much, so it should be about right. Frank and I are going to stick together on that, but when we go over to the Senate, you know, we understand that they're not going to go for the $20 billion, and so we're going to have to work this out. And I don't know how we'll come with a final number. Might have to get the leadership involved, but you know, it can be worked out. And it's even on our side, the food stamp cuts are only 2.5% of the overall amount, and we're not cutting anybody off. We're just changing these eligibility standards that were put in 96 that should have never been put in the first place, in my opinion. We'll work it out.
With the Dairy Security Act, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think we're okay. I talked to Frank just now, and I think we have enough votes. We have all the Democrats except one, so we only need like 4 or 5 Republicans, and I think we have that. So I think we'll be all right. It'll be another fight on the floor. You know, we just have to take it one step at a time.
What will be the biggest fight, do you think?
Probably dairy. Maybe dairy. You know, and I wish people would look at the alternative that they put out there, because it just, you know, it doesn't work, you know, and it's the last thing we need to do is to change the dairy policy to something that's not going to work. You know, we got to make sure we get this right. The producers and National Milk have worked on this for 3.5 years, and, you know, they're the ones that handle 80% of the milk. They understand what needs to be done.
Secretary Vilsack told us today that coming out of the committees might be the easy part of this process, that once it gets to the floor, it may be very difficult.
Well, it's not going to be easy, but I think I think we've hit a good balance here, and I think Frank and I stick together, I think we'll overcome at the end.
How soon?
Pardon?
How soon?
I think it's going to be in June. I think we're going to take it to the floor in June, from what I hear. And that means we can get a conference in July and get it out of here before August. That'd be good.
Ranking member of the House Committee on Agriculture, Colin Peterson from Minnesota, speaking and entertaining members of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting last night. A tip of the hat to Todd Gleason, who is in Washington, D.C. for the story. Joining us now with Cash Grain Analysis is Scott Butcher of the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon.
So I guess the question I have for you is, well, I have a couple. Number one is, do you think that September corn this year will be treated as old crop corn and new crop corn?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, right now it just feels like things are going to be late, you know, everywhere. You know, we're going to see, you know, some sort of gap in the, you know, obviously, you know, August is going to be pretty tight. In September, it looks like it's going to be pretty tight as well. You know, hopefully not the whole month of September, but right now you would think that we don't see a lot of new crop until probably October.
And it seems like a week doesn't go by that you don't pick up a newspaper or turn on your computer and read a story about some ethanol plant somewhere who's taking downtime for the summer, and the downtime, it's implied it's because it's difficult sourcing corn. What is the situation at Clymers at the moment?
Yeah, we're still running, you know, as well as we can, you know, trying to produce as much as we can here at our plant. You know, margins are good right now for ethanol, so you know, most folks are trying to find corn wherever they can right now. Obviously, you get into July and then August and, you know, forward, it's, you know, going to get a lot more challenging to source corn. So margins will, you know, dictate then, you know, whether you run or not.
How far away are you having to pull corn from now in order to run?
Not very far away at all. We're, you know, still locally, you know, having no problem sourcing corn here locally. You know, we are obviously slow right now, not a lot of inbound traffic right now just because of planting, you know, but feels like once, you know, planting wraps up and, you know, guys feel a little bit better about how things are going out in the field, they kind of cut loose of the last, you know, stocks that they've got left on the farm.
What's your best bet on what basis will be your way into pollination?
I would say that basis in our area would probably be somewhere around the 70 to 75 over the July area. That kind of feels like, you know, where the marketplace is headed. You know, there are, you know, some facilities that are willing to pay those types of numbers now for corn. So, you know, it just feels like that's kind of the direction we're headed.
Are you thinking that July corn or July beans on the board will rally to some degree to come back up to the May, or do you think most of this work will be done by basis?
Yeah, I think most of it will be done by basis. I don't see a lot of upward movement in the futures right now. I mean, it just feels like to me like we're, you know, probably going to start trending lower on, you know, on old crop stocks.
And a word or two about beans before we get your prices.
Soybeans right now are, you know, very hard to come by, very tight stocks in our area. A lot of beans obviously are cleaned up out of the elevator, and most of the beans are cleaned up off the farm as well. I'm sure there's, you know, some here and there, but very hard to come by right now. Corn price this evening for us is $7.11, soybeans $14.73.
Thank you very much, sir.
No problem.
That's Scott Butcher, and he is with the Andersons out of Clymers, Indiana. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. It's St. Isidore the Farmer Day, patron of agricultural workers, livestock, and ranchers. On this day in agricultural history in 1803, Sir Arthur Thomas Cotton was born. A British engineer, his life work was constructing irrigation and dams for water shortages in southern India, saving thousands from famine and promoting the local economy. Cotton also founded the Indian School of Hydraulic Engineering. In 1858, Robert Hare died, an American chemist. He devised the first oxyhydrogen blowpipe, the ancestor of the modern welding torch. Hare's blowpipe could melt sizable quantities of platinum, and largely on the strength of his invention, Hare was awarded honorary degrees from both Yale and Harvard. In 1923, Listerine was registered as a trademark. Before it was a mouthwash, it was a surgical antiseptic, and its name comes from Dr. Joseph Lister, a pioneer of antiseptic surgery. In 1940, nylon stockings went on sale for the first time in the U.S. in Wilmington, Delaware. 4 million pair were sold in several hours. And in 1989, Hershey reduced the size of its chocolate bar to 1.55 ounces. The price remained 40 cents. And that's This Day in Agricultural History. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
So the weather window for planting is closing rapidly. Question is, how long will it remain closed and over what part of the Corn Belt?
Well, that's the most complicated question that I've been asked in a while, because there's no simple answer. There's going to be a lot of scattered showers around beginning tomorrow, actually beginning today. What am I saying? We're going to see very favorable environment for field work later this afternoon across the northern parts of the eastern belt and maybe down near the Ohio River. But everybody in between will have a chance for some showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow will be the same kind of thing, only the western Corn Belt will jump on board with those scattered showers. And it's going to be a matter of whether or not you get lucky or not. You get up in the morning and you look at radar, and that's how you're going to have to determine whether or not today you're going to be able to get some crop in the ground. My guess is today and tomorrow will be the two better days in the eastern Midwest, but there will be those showers that will have to be dodged. As we move on out into the weekend, the odds will become much greater that we'll end up with a more meaningful amount of rainfall occurring, especially in the northwestern half of the Corn Belt initially. That's Minnesota, the Dakotas, northwestern, and well, actually most of northern Iowa and Wisconsin. Those areas will be in the rain from probably Friday night all the way through Tuesday of next week. Now, some of that rain will work its way through the eastern and lower parts of the Midwest. It'll come as two waves. The first one will occur probably on late Friday night into Sunday, moving through the southern two-thirds of Illinois and off into the Carolinas. And then the second wave will occur next week, probably Tuesday and Wednesday, as a cold front cuts through the Midwest. So it doesn't look real good at the moment, but it sounds like it rains everywhere all the time. That's not the case, except in the upper Midwest. So the answer to that question is not real simple, but I would say that it's going to be a hit and miss for the next 3 days, and then we probably won't see much field work after that.
And right now temperatures are fairly warm. After that second wave passes through, what will the temperatures look like?
We will see somewhat milder conditions, but near normal, mostly 60s and 70s in the north and 70s in the south. So it really won't be too bad. I think we're done with all the really terrible cold weather that we had here not too long ago.
And let's focus in on a couple of states which, in particular, are going to need some help. Minnesota being one of them. For one thing, it was way too cold to put anything in the ground because of soil temperatures, and then it got wet. What are their planting prospects like?
I think Minnesota will probably not see a lot of field work outside of the next day or two, until we get to the latter part of next week, and I think that they may have to wait even a little bit longer after that, maybe probably that second weekend of the two-week outlook before they can get into the fields and get aggressive, just simply because of the volume of rain that's going to come along as we go through the weekend early next week.
Thank you, Drew.
Have a good day.
That's World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.